Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I got your chips and I couldn't resist the complete encyclopedia to fantasy football. Look, it has all the latest
rankings.
Maria said
Cheetos, not Fritos.
Paul Charchian.
He's a fantasy football genius, okay?
Fantasy football expert for Fanball.
It's just a fantasy. Oh, it's not a real thing.
I think it's pretty easy to keep my fantasy football life away from my real life.
Taking your fantasy questions every week.
You know, if you're one of those people like, hey, I got you on my fantasy football team, because I don't care about your fantasy football team. But your fantasy football team probably sucks.
Paul Charchian with McNeil and Parkins.
It's a fantasy football thing.
On 670 The Score.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. Spieg's in for Mac again.
Hello!
So we talked to Paul Charchian, a reunion of sorts.
My
what
guy!
Up,
it
Charch?
Is. Hi, Matt.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Charge, how you been, brother?
What'd you do to Mac?
I've been slowly poisoning him for like a year. just strychnine. Yeah. Just nothing to cause death, just a lot of discomfort. And it finally paid off. Here I am today.
Well, it's only fair. He's been causing discomfort in his listeners for 20 years.
Ba-dang-dang!
Hey-o!
Hi-o! Yeah, sorry.
Hey, Church, I got a question. I'm watching...
Yeah.
I was watching Cowboys and Jets a lot, and aside from a couple of stupid throws into harm's way, Sam Darnold impressed the hell out of me. And I found myself thinking about him, but also Robbie Anderson as a deep threat. What are your thoughts on the Jets offense overall with Darnold back?
Well, totally different offense, obviously. And Darnold, remember, he looked great in the preseason, too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we went through that preseason and went, whoa, this guy looks so much better. And, you know, that's kind of what we thought we were going to get out of Baker Mayfield in year two, was him to get even better as well. Now, this week, unfortunately, he's got the Patriots, so you know, we're not starting him. But this is, and after that, it really eases up. He goes, I think Jaguars after that, and then the Jets have the easiest second half schedule of any team in the NFL.
Wow.
So this is a great buy low opportunity. Nobody wants to start Jets against the Patriots. So, you know, if you can go get him, go get Robbie Anderson, even Le'Veon Bell. Those are all guys that are looking to trend way upward in the second half.
Charch, after Bears-Vikings, you said that you didn't think that Kirk Cousins would be the quarterback of the Vikings next year. Since then, he's had two awesome games. Where are you now?
So here's the lesson learned of these last two games is the Vikings rebuilt their offensive line in the offseason, brought in a couple new guys. They did totally change schemes, and for a month it was a disaster. And then the last 2 weeks, the offensive line played just like competent football, and Kirk eviscerated two opponents. And so it really starts to feel like if this is going to be the real offensive line for this team, then it, you know, maybe we're going to get the good Kirk back, and maybe much everything that all of his struggles here was because he was playing with a garbage line that gave him no time and would have killed anybody. So
even against an awful Giants team and backup
and
corners for the Eagles.
Yeah. And that's the catch. But the one saving grace is, the Eagles came into that Viking game with the fourth-ranked pass rush by Pro Football Focus, and the Vikings' offensive line held it together and gave Kirk time. So, and they also did some mobile pocket stuff that was really smart. So hopefully it's starting to come together for Kirk's sake, and I'm seeing it get picked back up again in a bunch of leagues. I guess, you know, a four-touchdown game will do that. And honestly, a decent opportunity for Cousins this week as well against the Lions. So feeling a lot better about Cousins this week. And so, you know, I think it really just hinges on an offensive line, and he's not going to be somebody who can survive behind a bottom five offensive line. So if they can put it together, I kind of like Kirk again.
Charch, one of my leagues this week saw free agents sitting there available named Todd Gurley and Jared Goff. And I don't know what to make of the Rams. right now after that complete and utter shutdown by the 49ers. Should we be scared to start people against the Niners as well? Your takeaways from that one.
Well, yes. I mean, Niners defense, totally legit. And, you know, the acquisitions they made in the offseason, both free agency and in the draft, Nick Bosa is awesome already. So it's already paying off big time. And I'd be very wary of the Niners. That said, great time to buy low on the Rams right now. They got the Falcons coming, and basically since the Keanu Neal injury, they've been brutal in those three games. They're giving up 330 passing yards per game and 3.7 passing touchdowns. You know how hard it is to give up 3.7 passing touchdowns over three straight games. So it's a good opportunity to buy low here. And you know, Goff is, I think what we've learned is, the Goff is exactly what he is, only as good as the surrounding talent will let him be. He's not going to elevate talent. Like, you really want, you know, your great quarterbacks make everybody around him better. He's not that guy. He is what Sean McVay can get out of him, what the offensive line can get out of him, what Todd Gurley in a great running game was able to let him do. But now with a wobbly offensive line with a bunch of new guys, Goff just can't will his team to be any better than the worst component of it, which is his offensive line. They haven't been able to get a running game going. You know, all that said, offensive line probably gets better over time, a little bit like the Vikings are, you know, better with time when you have all these new guys and you've got rookies starting. So I think it probably gets better here. And it just feels like we're going to look back and go, man, you could have bought in on these great Rams players for pennies on the dollar back in week 7. And you kind of wish you would have.
Paul Charchian of Fanball.com, your toughest either or a start or sit scenario. Give us the players and their opponent. Alex in Waukegan has one that allows us to talk about tonight's game. Go ahead, Alex. You're on with Charch.
I got Patrick Mahomes. He's going against Denver. Or do I start Jimmy Garoppolo from the 49ers? That's a tough one for me, being 5-1.
All right. Thank you, Alex. Garoppolo going up against Washington on the road.
That's what makes it interesting, right?
Well, it is. And you know, who would have guessed we'd even be considering this, right? But it's come to this for Patrick Mahomes, who's now gone three straight games completing less than 58% of his passes. He's got the ankle injury. He's still missing both of his left guard and his left tackle are both going to miss this game. Sammy Watkins is going to miss this game. And he goes up against a Denver team that ranks 4th in passing yards allowed and 3rd in passing touchdowns allowed. You know, Vic Fangio's turned this thing around. They were wobbly earlier. They've been awesome for 3 weeks. So I'm nervous about Mahomes. I still have him higher than Garoppolo. The problem for Garoppolo is they get it. Their defense is awesome. They run their way to a lead, and then the defense stops everybody. They just keep running. Garoppolo's throwing the 3rd fewest passes among all starting quarterbacks. So, you know, while Washington's a bad secondary, they may just not need to pass here. So I still like Garoppolo this week, and I think he could be sitting on his best game of the year. But I can't start him over Patrick Mahomes. I can't get myself to do it.
Charge, how about Travis Kelce tonight in that same game? And then the texter has Austin Hooper of Atlanta, and they're at home against the Rams.
I have him ranked 2 and 3. Hooper's been great.
Yes.
He leads the league in tight end receptions. He's 2nd in yards and 2nd in touchdowns. The Rams have allowed 20 straight completions to tight ends. How about that? So, again, it's awfully hard to bench guys like Travis Kelce, but just the reality is Hooper's been better, and I suspect he's going to be better in this one. I got him one spot higher, so let's try him.
Let's go to Orland Park. Pete, you're on with Charch. Go ahead.
I got David Montgomery or Carlos Hyde, 12-team PPR.
Carlos Hyde in Houston. They're at Indianapolis. Montgomery and the Bears here against New Orleans.
Well, you guys tell me. I mean, I was the original David Montgomery guy in the preseason. I'm like, yeah, I think he's going to be very good. They're going to use him copiously. It hasn't worked out at all to this point. He has yet to top 68 yards. He's, I think, 27 receiving yards is his max. He's averaging 3.4 yards per carry. I just can't recommend him. I can't. He's my number 38 ranked running back. Carlos Hyde's way up at number 19. He's been efficient. The Colts are allowing the 5th most yards per carry. He gets a ton of work. Colts do get back their linebacker Darius Leonard here, and they're coming off a bye, so they're probably a little tougher than that. But still, I got to go Carlos Hyde because I know he's going to get use, and I know he's going to be more efficient than Montgomery. I mean, do you, I'd love to tell you. I would love to say this is going to be the breakout game for David
Montgomery.
Nah,
there's no reason to believe that it will be. And Montgomery's honestly borderline droppable depending on your running back situation because of the Bears' offensive line and what they're trying to do with it and get their passing game going. So I probably wouldn't drop him, but I'd have him on the bench until proven otherwise.
I think so, too. And by the way, Saints are a good run defense, so we'll throw that in, too.
All right, let's go to Mac in Aurora. You're on with Charge. Go ahead, Mac.
Hey there. I've got two Buffalo Bills with a great matchup against the Dolphins, but perhaps some nagging health concerns. John Brown and Devin Singletary.
Devin Singletary, is this the week for all of us to put Devin Singletary into our lineups, Charge?
Well, let's start here. Immediately go check and see if Devin Singletary is available in your league, in part because of the bye last week and his month off from the hamstring injury. Devin Singletary is available in 40% of leagues. You have an almost coin flips chance he's available. He's going to beat out Frank Gore for that starting job, and it could all start right here against Miami. And Devin Singletary is electric. The guy has got phenomenal moves and evasiveness and speed. He only played like the first game of the season and in maybe game and a half, like six quarters. In his 10 carries, he's averaging 17 yards per carry. That's Devin Singletary in a very small sample size. And also, we should mention this. As I highly encourage people to go pick up Devin Singletary, get a load of this schedule over the next 5 weeks. Dolphins this week, Dolphins 5 weeks from now, and in between that, the Dolphins sandwich, the meat in the Dolphins sandwich, they get the Eagles, the Redskins, and the Browns. This is for the next 5 weeks. The Bills have the easiest schedule going. It's a fantastic opportunity for Devin Singletary. So go pick him up. I think he beats out Frank Gore in time, and maybe even beginning this week. Who is the other guy? Who is the other Bill that he had? Was it John Brown?
John Brown, yeah.
Yeah, John Brown. Looks like John Brown's going to go, and if he goes, I love him against the Dolphins. Dolphins allowed the most wide receiver touchdowns in the league. It's a great opportunity for him. Now, he's got the groin injury, so you'll need to watch, but they've been crushed, especially by the way, Miami's been crushed by speed receivers. Marquise Brown, 2 touchdowns. Terry McLaurin, 2 touchdowns. What is John Brown's game? Speed. Here comes 2 touchdowns. Let's hope so.
Charge, texter has Melvin Gordon of the Chargers against the Titans or Joe Mixon of the Bengals against the Jags.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon's really struggled with the terrible offensive line injuries that they've had. They might get Russell Okung back for this one, which would help him. But in the meantime, we're going to take Joe Mixon and just be happy to get what Joe Mixon can give us. Now, sometimes that ain't much. Last week he gave us 38 yards, but this week he's got the Jaguars. Now we may be thinking the Jaguars, that's a great defense. You don't want to start him, but the Jaguars run defense has really fallen apart. They're giving up the 5th most yards and the 2nd most yards per carry, 5.4 yards per carry. So it's a really nice opportunity for Joe Mixon if he can just kind of get something going with his terrible offensive line.
I'm curious what you make of the Packers skill position players with Jamal Williams playing so well after Aaron Jones had been great. Lazard comes in on Aaron Rodgers' recommendation. How do you think that all shakes out?
I think Aaron Rodgers does not have a bona fide number two receiver after Adams. And I think all these guys that they're pinning their hopes on right now look like middling players. And I couldn't even tell you that any of these guys will be meaningful contributors 2 or 3 years down the road. And so I think Rodgers is playing well, but not getting much help from all of these odds and ends guys. And they desperately needed Marquez Valdes-Scantling to step up last week. They got nothing from him, basically. And so I don't like what that offense looks like without Adams. Now, Adams could come back this week, which would be super helpful. Now, the running back situation, very frustrating to me because I continue to believe Aaron Jones is the far superior back. But Matt LaFleur is absolutely committed to the even timeshare with Jamal Williams and probably a pretty decent opportunity for Williams this week against Oakland and actually for Aaron Jones, too. But it's going to be split roughly down the middle, and that's going to really water down the fantasy hopes for both of those guys.
Boy, it'd be fun to be this texter. He's got Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson playing against each other in the same game.
Jeez, that's my number 2 and number 4 quarterback right there.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, have they been good. And the Russell Wilson's got Baltimore. That's another team like Jacksonville. You immediately tend to shy away from Baltimore, but they're just not that great yet. The only guys that they've held down are Ryan Fitzpatrick and Mason Rudolph and Andy Dalton. They've been drilled by Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, and Baker Mayfield. So I like Russell Wilson a lot. He's just been so consistent. Multiple touchdowns in 5 of 6 games, at least 240 passing yards in every game since week one. Russell Wilson's your MVP. I think it doesn't even, there isn't even any question that the league MVP is Russell Wilson right now?
Through 6 games.
Yeah, yeah. Danny questioned me when I brought it up last week, but he wouldn't if I brought it up this week.
That's right. That is.
Yeah, you had Mahomes. You were arguing for Mahomes a week ago, right?
Yes. Yes, yeah, I was.
Yeah, we can't right now.
No, absolutely not. Where do you have Kyler Murray ranked this week against the Giants?
So I believe on this segment last week, we talked about the breakout game for Kyler Murray coming, and he had a 3-touchdown game, and this is another great opportunity against the Giants. And outside of the Washington quarterbacks, every other quarterback to face the Giants has passed for at least 253 yards and had multiple touchdowns. And here's Kyler Murray, who has enjoyed double-digit rushing attempts in 2 straight games. So he's getting it done on the ground and through the air. Love him this week. He's in my top 5. He is number 5, Kyler Murray, this week.
Last one. Let's go to Ross. You're on with Paul Charchian at fanball.com. Go ahead, Ross.
Hey, guys. I've got a PPR flex spot question. I've got Cortland Sutton going tonight against the Chiefs, or I have Tyler Boyd on Sunday versus Jacksonville.
Yeah, I've enjoyed Cortland Sutton. I think he's very capable, but Tyler Boyd's been productive, right, Charge?
Mostly, but he's had a couple of down games lately. He's now seen 7 or fewer targets in 2 of his last 3 games. Jacksonville hasn't allowed a score to an opposing receiver in their last 2 games, although obviously they just traded away Jalen Ramsey, but he wasn't playing anyway. Boyd's going to face slot corner. Boyd works from the slot. He'll face slot cornerback DJ Hayden, who has given up a total of 3 catches for 16 yards over the last 2 weeks. So I don't like Boyd here. Meanwhile, Cortland Sutton's been awesome. He's been even with Joe Flacco, he's overcoming the limitations of Joe Flacco, and he gets the Chiefs secondary that's been charitable to opposing receivers, yielding a score per game to the position, tied for 5th most. So I'll take Cortland Sutton, who I've got about 20 spots higher than Tyler Boyd.
If you missed anything or want to know more, Charch's rankings are there for you at fanball.com.
Thank you, Charch.
At that. Thanks, guys. It was great talking to you, Matt. If Mac turns up dead, we'll know why, and we'll know who did it. It won't take long to piece that together.
We're betting against that, Charch.
Probably not.
We're rooting against it. We're betting against it.
Well, now I am, because the audio evidence is out there.
Yeah, you'd be in trouble.
I got troubles.
Now, what would be brilliant, there's somebody listening out there that's got this axe to grind with Mac, so they poisons him with strychnine.
Oh, God.
This show has been so dark today.
Hey, listen, Charch, good luck with your attempt to kill Matthew Berry, okay?
Deal. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
See you, Charch. I never thought about that.
What's that?
Like, if Matthew Berry just won the Powerball and decided to retire, would Charch be in line for that job?
It worked for Passan.
Yes. I guess that's true.
Actually, I don't know if that's what works.
Yeah, Passan didn't really replace anybody.
No, I think a whole career of actually being really good at your job might have been part of it.
Yeah, Passan did it the right way.
Yeah.
And he sold out.
To the man.
He really did.
He really did.
He really did.
And you would too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would, especially in that situation.
I remember one time I was walking around Los Angeles when I was working for Sporting News Radio, and I was listening to Colin Cowherd at the time on ESPN Radio, and he said, you know, if you're someplace you're not happy, you want to be somewhere else. If you're working at Sporting News Radio, for instance, you want to be. And I was like, you shut the hell up, jackass.
Hit a little too close to home.
Just a little too close. I was walking the dog at that point.
When Passan got the ESPN gig, I texted him, and I was like, man, I just shed a single tear that, you know, our years of doing radio, it's going to be over. And he said, and he responded back, he's like, I shed a single tear too. And then I wiped it away with ESPN's money.
Oh.
I was like, yep. Oh, okay. Good for you. That is exactly right. And I would do the exact same. Hit me up when you come to Chicago. Why are you hanging your head in your hands there?
Oh, no, everything's just, you know, things are sometimes awkward. That's all.
That's just, it's the it's the way of the world, man.
When are we going to get
Parkin, your skills are iffy.
When are we going to get to the top opinioneer in our business described perfectly?
Let's do it coming up next.
Is described perfectly by somebody outside of our business, but I think he absolutely nailed it.
It's coming up on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them
them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back in. McNeil and Parkins on the score. Spieg's in for Mac, who's out sick. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field this fall. The Wildcats are led by Big Ten Coach of the Year, Pat Fitzgerald. They've got Ohio State tomorrow night. Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota to follow in Big Ten play. Single-game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale at NUSports.com. This segment brought to you by Mecum Auctions. Mecum Auctions, the largest collector car auction company, returns to the Schaumburg Convention Center October 24th to the 26th. See 1,000 muscle cars, classics, Corvettes, hot rods, resto mods, and more. Advanced discounts on bidder registrations and tickets at Mecum.com. That's Mecum.com.
All right, so I'm catching up yesterday on Last Week Tonight, which I watch a lot. John Oliver, I think, is very funny. The writing staff's unbelievable. And he finds a way to make really complicated material digestible and entertaining.
I watch it every Monday with Steph. He is wildly talented and entertaining. He's incredible.
Yeah, I learned as I watched this that now I hate AccuWeather. I had no idea that I hated AccuWeather.
Right.
But I sure do. But during the context of the show, he was talking about China and the NBA. And as he's talking about Adam Silver's reaction, he referenced LeBron's reaction.
Mm-hmm.
He took a moment to point out how some of the media has reacted. And he educated his viewers as to the mere existence of Stephen A. Smith. And I thought he nailed the description, which you'll hear before and after the clip he plays from Stephen A.
Well, Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, has stood by Maury. It has been disappointing to see others like ESPN Stephen A. Smith heavily criticizing his tweets for jeopardizing the league's bottom line. And before you watch this, if you've never heard Stephen A. Smith talk before, just know this. He tends to be loud, wrong, and take pointlessly dramatic pauses.
You don't just think about yourself when you act. That's what boys and girls do. That's what children do. Grown-ups! Adults! People who understand what it's like to build something, to have something, and to be responsible for people other than themselves, they get that you don't just speak willy-nilly. Run your mouth without any thoughts of the consequences coming down the pipe.
Again, if you're not a sports fan and you're just now seeing Stephen A. Smith for the first time, let me address a few things quickly. One, I'm sorry. Two, yes, he's always like that. And three, no one knows why.
So perfectly nailed, pitch perfect. It's absolutely spectacular.
Oh, that's Stephen A.
Top of our profession.
No one knows why.
He tends to be loud, wrong, and take pointlessly dramatic pauses.
And then there they come. And that's what you said, right? You said you were watching with Steph and you pointed at him.
Yeah, oh, she was like, you know, no idea. She doesn't watch ESPN during the day or anything like that. And she was just blown away. And I was like, no, that's... that's the top of my profession, right there. It's the guy who makes the most money and has the most direct impact on ratings of any sports television personality.
Oh.
It's a remarkable thing.
Oh,
wow. It really is incredible.
It's a cotton-headed ninny muggins. That's what he is.
He is. I find him to be entertaining sometimes. I will be honest.
Of course you do. Of course you do. You have more. You have you find certain aspects of the business more palatable than I. Is that a fair way to phrase it?
Yeah. One thing to take you behind the curtain here a little bit pre-show. Danny Parkins, I don't know if he just does this for inspiration, for motivation.
He tends to be loud, wrong, and take pointlessly dramatic pauses.
All correct. He likes to do this before a show, and I don't know if he's trying to irritate me or fire himself up.
Yeah.
But the Stephen A. Smith regarding Justin Verlander, I hear play across the room probably once every 10 days or so.
Oh, that's ridiculous. No, it only it only happened like a couple weeks ago, and I have played it twice since because it pops up on my timeline.
Well,
and
yes. It's starting to become a theme.
But I do find it to be... It borders on inappropriate and entertaining in just the best of ways.
Yeah, it makes me want to jump out of the window.
It's basically
Stephen A. Smith saying, you know, good job, Sierra. Good job, Kate Upton, because you haven't messed up your men. So it's very...
He's staying it in full Stephen A. style, too.
Sure.
It's so ludicrous that he even says it on the radio, seriously. But he says it like Stephen A. Smith.
Sure.
You know, and so
Texter Joe in Denver says, the ultimate warrior doing a promo.
Yeah. And so the real...
It is WWE, by the way.
Exactly. About the industry, it... It just doesn't bother me because this is all silly nonsense. It's entertainment, right? They're the Entertainment Sports Programming Network.
Yeah.
So if people find him entertaining, it doesn't offend my sensibilities. Everything doesn't have to be the highest of brow.
Mm.
Like, he doesn't offend me nearly as much as someone like Jason Whitlock or Clay Travis, who I think traffic in bad faith arguments on things that actually matter. Right? Like, if Stephen A. Smith is going to be bombastic about NBA rankings, okay, that's one thing. But if those guys are going to be bombastic about race, really bothers me.
Well, in this instance, what he was, and I hadn't heard it until I heard the bit on the Oliver show, but what he's chastising Daryl Morey for is not putting financial interests above morality. How dare you not value business and other people's pockets and your own pockets above how you actually feel about something?
Well, also,
and I think that's a cancerous thought.
Yeah,
that is everywhere.
It is everywhere. It's so much so everywhere.
Uh-huh. That's just another voice throwing it out there, throwing it on the pile.
But you
just said he has the most impact.
He does. But what I'm saying, part of what he was also talking about there in the extended cut is the timing of the fact that the NBA was actually over there in China.
That part I agree with.
Exactly. So like that's part of it that I think a lot of us can empathize with. And you and I both have been put in situations where we have maybe had to compromise some things that we say because of business interests.
For sure.
And money, right? So my thing with some of the LeBron criticism that has come is not that he did not disappoint me and not that he doesn't deserve any criticism. He did disappoint me, and he does. I feel like the criticism has been so over the top for LeBron because people are holding him to some sort of mythical standard that is A, unreasonable, and B, that they don't hold themselves to. Like, first of all, Daryl Morey is not standing up to China. He deleted the tweets, hasn't said anything since, apologized, said he wasn't educated on the issue, and has backed down. No one is standing up to China in any real discernible way.
Right, but none of us are LeBron. With great power comes great responsibility, and he's put himself right there through his excellence and his business largesse and everything.
Right.
And he is willing to take it when everyone says he is everything publicly that Michael Jordan was afraid to be. He is not the guy who says Republicans buy sneakers too.
Correct.
Right? He's not that guy, and he's been thoroughly willing to helm his HBO show in the barbershop and to talk about the president and to talk about anybody and just be that guy. So here, when he has exposed himself as scared of the his pockets and his wallet and his bottom line as anybody, it's disappointing because of who he is and who he has presented himself to be. We're not him.
Right. But I guess what I'm saying is I never looked at LeBron as all things to all people. And the U.S. government is in trade wars, but also trade deals with China, right? The U.S. does business with China. It would be totally irresponsible not to, right? There's four times as many people in China as there are in the U.S. They are a geopolitical superpower. The U.S. and China have to do dealings with each other, right? We're in agreement on that.
Mm-hmm.
If they cut off all business dealings with China, economy would suffer in a massive way. So I got to hold LeBron to a standard that we don't hold the U.S. government to. We all have iPhones. We all have clothes made in China. All sorts of U.S. companies do huge business in China. They're publicly traded companies. They have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders to make money. On some level, they're all looking the other way on the human rights violations of China. They're compromised morally because of the bottom line.
Yeah, but you don't have to look the other way, but you don't have to pile on and chastise somebody who exercised their free speech.
He messed up.
His boss, LeBron's boss, is not doing that. Adams, not his boss, but the commissioner of the NBA, and it just came out where he spoke at a Time 100 health summit today, and he said that the league is, quote, not only willing to cope with losses of millions in revenues, but, quote, we are. The losses have already been substantial. Our games are not back on the air. We'll see what happens next week. And they're completely willing to stand by this.
Right. He says, we were being asked to fire Daryl Morey by the Chinese government. We said there's no chance that's happening. There's right. No chance we'll even discipline
we
him.
Will
that's
not
Adam Silver.
We will not even discipline. These American values, we are an American business, travel with us wherever we go. And one of those values is free expression. We wanted to make sure that everyone understood we were supporting free expression. And that is a guy in charge, and we'll see if he survives it. But he's willing to take the massive financial consequences of pissing off China because somebody dared to express themselves.
And I think that's
LeBron's not because, and I wouldn't, I'd say that it's not because the NBA is doing that. It's because of impending Space Jam and all of the other personal.
And Nike.
Yes.
And, absolutely. I agree with you. And LeBron really disappointed me in that he did not at least stand up for Daryl Morey. Like, he made it out through the lens and the prism of LeBron. Like, hey, we're over here. You put us in a terrible spot. You couldn't have waited until next week. And it's like, okay, I get it. The timing sucked for you, and it personally impacted you and your teammates. Mm-hmm. But you're not the biggest victim here in all of this. So look at it from the bigger picture. But in my opinion, the criticism of LeBron has been fascinating because when he does those things here domestically,
yeah,
right, where he's an American citizen, where we live in a democracy, where he has more influence, where the issues are closer to home, and he can speak on them with more authority, right? Education, Black Lives Matter, the Trayvon Martin incident, things where LeBron has spoke up, where he has more personal connection to the issue, mm-hmm. therefore more genuine for him to speak up on. He gets hit with shut up and dribble. People mock him for being more than an athlete.
Isn't this him voluntarily shutting up and dribbling?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because he's saying, just because I raise money for Alzheimer's awareness, it doesn't mean I need to raise money for prostate cancer. I don't have to be all things to all people. It doesn't invalidate my criticisms or my support of Black men in America because China is not my issue.
I think to you it does not. And I understand that you're saying that intellectually to some people it should not devalue it, but it absolutely does. In the same way that an imperfect vessel like Colin Kaepernick ended up getting called on whatever was wearing the pig socks or things
sure.
like that. If you are, you know, if you're inconsistent in terms of trying to take moral high ground, it will weaken your other staunch bits of moral high ground.
But I guess who is perfect in our modern society? Like, I truly don't understand why LeBron dropping the ball on China lessens what he did with his school in Akron. I don't get it.
It does. I don't think it does that. I don't think it lessens some of the good work that he's done.
So, but I mean, that's the argument, isn't it? The argument is,
well, you're pushing against it, so I'm trying to figure out.
Well, I'm saying, LeBron lost a lot of public trust here, right? People were disappointed in LeBron because he didn't say free Hong Kong, or he mm-hmm. didn't back Daryl Morey, or whatever people think LeBron should have done that he did not do. Those other people aren't doing it either. Like, U.S. companies are not standing up to China's issue with human rights. The U.S. government is often not standing up to China with human rights. So it strikes me as an unfair standard to put on one basketball player, albeit one unbelievably powerful, progressive basketball player, when so many other people
that are more powerful and richer and more famous than LeBron are not doing it too. And then to not only that, also hold on. That it lessens those other things that he does.
Okay,
makes him a hypocrite for those other things.
I got you. Well, I think what you're saying is some well-crafted, but still whataboutism in terms of like, what about you? What are you doing? Or what about they? What are they doing? No, we're just talking about, like, if we're just talking about him and we're talking about LeBron, it's a misstep and it strikes it as inconsistent. And it does to me even, and to others, and I think to some who are some progressives or whatever, it does devalue his overall moral standing. I find it very disappointing. It doesn't devalue the work that he has done, but it makes, in the future, if he says some stuff that is convenient for Nike, right?
But so do you feel the same way about Steve Kerr?
In terms of what he has said and what he has done?
I get more upset about Steve Kerr than I do about LeBron.
But so, like, to me, it's interesting. Steve Kerr is really passionate about gun violence, right?
Yes.
His father,
this guy, Steve Kerr, and he was like a little boy. He was so scared to be even answering the question. He couldn't answer the question. He was shaking. I don't know. He didn't know how to answer the question.
So, like, Steve Kerr, his father was assassinated.
Right.
Correct.
Steve Kerr has done a tremendous amount of work on gun violence and research on gun violence. So he feels qualified to speak up about issues with gun violence.
And he's spoken on it innumerable times.
Right. So, because he was scared or punted or no commented China, even if you want to take the most cynical view, because of money, he was scared of his job security and money. If you want to say that was the reason, which is debatable, but let's say it was.
But he no commented, right? He didn't.
He
acted like he didn't know anything about it.
Okay, but
I find that completely egregious.
Okay, but that invalidates the other good work he does on gun violence.
No, it doesn't. Just because
I'm asking.
No, like, that's the argument that I can't stand. Is, oh, that negates this. It doesn't negate it. LeBron has done billions of dollars worth of great charity work. He has done amazing things, whether it's in the Cleveland community, nationally. He has done great things, and all of that still stands.
A misstep is also a misstep. I find a no comment more palatable than a straight up, you know, castigating of Daryl Morey like LeBron.
Right.
Did.
Like the LeBron thing, when he called Daryl Morey, he's not educated enough.
Uninformed.
Like, the man is. He's probably as educated as damn near anyone in the entire NBA offices in any capacity.
Very smart guy, of course.
Incredibly smart guy. I have real trouble thinking that he is not pretty informed of China and China's happenings for a long amount of time. It was egregious to me of what LeBron said, but it's almost more disappointing because Steve Kerr, you see as, all right, LeBron obviously has plenty of world experiences. Steve Kerr is the 50-year-old in the room of, all right.
Yeah.
I look to Steve Kerr almost on the level of Greg Popovich of, all right, if someone's going to say something, if someone is going to bring about and change,
those are kind of
the two guys NBA-wise that I would trust the most from.
But that's just assuming that because one guy speaks about something, he will have, like Danny's saying, a thought about something else. I think it's closer, like when you're talking about oppression or a government doing wrong as much as, you know, LeBron has talked about, or a society doing wrong, to not empathize with the Chinese and to go the protesters and to go even further and rip somebody for daring to empathize with them. That's more inconsistent with what LeBron has done publicly than what Kerr has done publicly.
Yeah,
do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, LeBron disappointed me and he misstepped. I think that the idea, though, that the other stuff is invalidated in some way or lessened, I would love to know who I'm supposed to hold up LeBron to here, who says he's doing this and balancing
himself?
Just
himself and his future. Like, the question is, when he says stuff in the future, does it have the same power? To me, it does not, because he's shown a willingness to cave.
So LeBron speaking on Black Lives Matter in the future has less impact because of China?
Him speaking, his conviction has a little less power to it for me. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And so I love the conversation because that's the disagreement.
I gotta say that it does for me.
Okay. Yeah. That's very interesting. Like I'm not right or wrong or indifferent. Like that's very interesting.
Yeah.
That because I think we all, any human being, has hypocrisies.
Absolutely.
And inconsistencies.
I've disappointed myself many times.
Right.
With my lack of taking a stand or my no comment. I have to live with it.
Exactly.
I have to live with it and what it has done to my words.
Right. And I think that so.
And so does he.
Exactly. And so does he. And his is just so high profile with so much consequence and weight.
And it's been a long time since he took any kind of hit in that way.
Exactly. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This hour on The Score brought to you by CarX. Save up to $200 on 4 tires installed at CarX. Brock Osweiler retired. I didn't even know he was still playing. $41 million in career earnings. That's a good gig if you can get it. Do you think Brock Osweiler is Mike Glennon's hero? Do you think he's his personal hero? He got two paydays.
Other way around? Is Glennon older? Who's older here? I think Glennon might have him by a year or two.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought Brock was older.
But Brock got paid before Glennon got paid?
Brock got paid twice. He got two nice chunks of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so they're just co-heroes to each other?
Well, must be good to be tall and gawky and be able to throw a ball and be white.
Yeah, there's tremendous job security in the NFL when that's your description. Spiegs in for Mac. Is Matt Nagy distancing himself from Mitch Trubisky? We're going to investigate some of this audio coming up on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.